You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Let's go, baby. Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the Barton Hunt Show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. It's not effing Friday, baby.
Yeah.
It's Super Bowl Friday. Let's get right into this, man.
What it
Let's
do, get baby? Into the game. Kawhi Leonard, what it do, baby?
This is what we've been waiting for, and it's the fun part about this Super Bowl, as we've talked about, and we really haven't. We're going to dive deeper into the game now today. We're going to have a lot of fun with this game today. But Bart, it still, though, becomes that feeling that it's a legacy game.
Yes.
But not just for the quarterbacks, and we'll get to that. But how about this? The Chiefs right now have an opportunity to do something that I think in each decade we've seen in the Super Bowl, there's been the team of the decade. In the very beginning of the Super Bowl, in the 60s, it was the Green Bay Packers. In the 70s, the Steel Curtain. In the 80s, the 49ers.
Yep.
In the 90s, the Dallas Cowboys. And for 20 years in both decades so far of this century, it's been the New England Patriots. Could the 20s be the decade of the Chiefs? Is this the start of a new dynasty?
And when you talk about dynasties, you're talking about, you know, it's only three championships that you have to get to be a dynasty, right? So it's not like – so if they run off the beginning of the 20s, you know, 2021, that's all you need. No other team, no other franchise we can think is going to be there. They're not going to fall off anytime soon. You know that Mahomes, even though he's going to start to lose some of his great pieces, Kelsey's going to be there maybe five more years with him tops. You look at Andy Reid, who knows how long he's going to coach. But if you're able to continue to have that consistency, Mahomes is good enough on his own, like Russell Wilson, to always be in the mix to be able to elevate his team, at least to the playoffs, to the division championship. Now, the question is, I wonder what some of these other young guns in the division are thinking about this, right? Are you going to let Mahomes have all the fun, or is somebody going to come up and be a program disruptor and interrupt the party? But I tell you what, right now, if he gets to number two, I mean, I can't see how they aren't the team of the 20s. And I tell you what, I don't see what stops them any sooner, because I told you, like I said yesterday, what happens after that? You start getting guys coming in to try and get their ring. Say, hey, mm-hmm. I'll come. I'll take less. Come get that ring.
Yeah.
So now you're able to continue to put good weapons around him. But what happens on the flip side? If that other guy, you know, pulls the upset, we've seen him do
that
the impossible. We've seen him do the impossible.
TB12?
We've seen him. We've seen him and the team that he was a part of stop the greatest show on turf. So, I mean, he's been a part of big-time upsets. He's been the favorite. He's been the underdog. Right now he's the underdog. Let's see if this old dog got some more tricks up his sleeve.
Let's see, because what happens if the Bucks win this one? And that's what brings us to Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. What happens, though, if it's the Bucks?
Yeah.
You said something before we started the show, which it's an interesting theory. Because, again, the Chiefs win. And
I'm always interested.
Conversation begins if the Chiefs win. I mean, there's no doubt about that. There's dynasty possibilities. That conversation begins when you win two. Now it's like, okay, if you get three – now you join that elite group. And if obviously Patrick Mahomes and his legacy all of a sudden now really starts to skyrocket. In fact, it's interesting. Andy Reid was asked about it and had this to say about the Mahomes legacy and all that Chiefs dynasty talk.
Yeah, listen, I probably say the same thing I just said to Soren, that I'm not sure how much you get caught up in that part of it as much as you do making sure that you have all the T's crossed and I's dotted. So, I mean, that's where you're at. And if you get an extra minute, you watch a little bit more film. And then you make sure you're getting enough rest and eating the right things and so on. So, I mean, your mind is on things that are going to directly affect the game at this time. And you want to try to maximize that. And that's what he does. So I don't think he's probably thinking too much about the other part. I'm sure he loves the challenge of playing against Tampa Bay. They're a good football team, and Tom Brady's a friend of his. So, I mean, I think that and somebody he looks up to. So I think that's kind of a neat deal for him. But I think when you really get down to what he's thinking about, and that's just making sure he's got the game plan down and ready to go.
Obviously, if players don't talk, you don't think about that stuff. That's for us to talk about. Yeah. There's no question. So we understand that's already there if the Chiefs win. But if the Bucs win, you had an interesting theory of what comes next. Go ahead.
Well, I think that it can be a start of another dynasty, right? Because when you look at the NFC, I think the NFC is an easier path when you think about the quarterbacks.
With a 43-year-old quarterback? How do you have a dynasty with a 43-year-old quarterback?
You have a dynasty with a 43-year-old quarterback. He's going to be even better next year. Right, he's going to be better next year. Just think, this is a guy that was illegally practicing with his teammates, trying to figure out where the hell to go. He went to the wrong damn house. He bought a house, thought it was Derek Jeter's house, went to somebody else's house and said, sorry, I'm not trying to rob you. I'm Tom Brady. I can buy this house. I'm sorry. I'm just going to leave out. I was looking for Jeter. I'm sorry, wrong address. You know, so he was doing that, right? And you remember the ups and downs early in the season. He didn't know what down it was. And does Tom Brady play well in primetime games? Remember, we questioned that. Does Tom Brady play well in nighttime games? And people were making fun of his age and talk about the nightshade diet and all the vegetables. But imagine if he has another – if he wins this year, who's to say they shouldn't be the favorites again next year now that they're going to have more chemistry, they're going to be able to implement some more things that Brady wants to put into this offense. They'll be able to add another layer of wrinkles. They are still going to have tremendous weapons. Even if they lose Chris Godwin, they still have tremendous salary cap space. So this is not a team that's maxed out on the salary cap. They can be strategic that way. They have a lot of young talent that they don't have to pay for a while. They don't have to pay Tristan Wirth for a while. They don't have to play Devin White for a while. Levante David is a free agent, but you think about Winfield, their outstanding safety, he's a rookie. So who's to say that they can't come back, because they're one of the most talented teams? And then what happens after that? Tom Brady plays for 2 years, starts the dynasty. Now, we've seen dynasties kind of hand the baton off to each other, right?
Niners.
We saw the Niners. Mm-hmm. We saw Green Bay, Brett Favre hand it off, and then in short order, they won. But what about what happens if, now in 2 years we know that Aaron Rodgers is going to be a free agent and – Jordan Love's going to get his opportunity.
Oh,
he's going to be he's going to be surveying the field and the landscape. He's going to say, "Hey, man, I heard Tampa's a great place. Florida's a great place for old people. I like how Bruce Arian rocks. I like Byron Leftwich. They still have Evans, right? They still have Evans. They still potentially have Godwin. They still have potentially Fournette. They still have Wirth. They still have all these weapons. Scott Miller. They still like and so forth and so on. Hey, why not? I take my services not to South Beach to Left Beach." You know what I mean? Let me go over there to that side and see how Tampa's rocking, and then they continue that whole dynasty as well. So it can be like a reverse dynasty. I don't know if we've ever seen a dynasty where they handed it off from one quarterback to another outstanding quarterback
to another.
And it kept going, right?
Exactly. So it becomes the place where quarterbacks retire. The great quarterbacks retire down in Tampa.
Isn't that Florida?
This is your theory. But you know what? I'll say it's not crazy, because you're right. The pieces around. That's the key part of this conversation, right? It's the fact that they have foundational pieces.
Young and cheap.
It's not all about just the one player. And with the Chiefs, the harder part for that dynasty, because they have young players, and they're already paying Mahomes, they're already paying Kelsey.
Chris
Jones. They've got to pay guys.
And they're paying Frank Clark a ton of money.
Yeah,
Tyrann Matthews a ton of money. So
and this is a salary cap sport. That's going to be the harder thing to do, is to keep the entire group together and keep them playing at that high level. The number is 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We want you to be part of the conversation, at Barton Hunt on Twitter and Instagram as well. And the question is basically that, is are we at now the beginning of the next dynasty? The AFC's tough. That's another thing to throw in here.
A lot of young guns, though.
You have, exactly. So if you're in a market and you're like, no, my team's going to take the Chiefs down. The Chiefs aren't going to be there forever. Mahomes is great, but my team is on the rise.
Can I say
who
something?
Is that team if Can there is a something? Team that's going to take them out? Yes, of course.
I don't want nobody from damn Detroit to call and say, we just got Jared Goff. I want nobody to pick up that
like
damn
kneecaps.
Phone and, well, and talk
AFC,
about Jared
sure,
Goff. Now, if you're the Rams, you can call. You can call and say, hey, no, we might be the start of a new dynasty. Nobody from Detroit call. Nobody from Jacksonville call. The Jets, I'm sorry, you got to stay. You got to sit this one out.
But
Baltimore.
Pittsburgh. If you find a quarterback,
who's that?
Oh, well, that's just. But no, I know it's a big deal. If
Dwayne Haskins,
still,
come on down. No, I'm just playing.
Well, they got that. But seriously, like, that's the question: is what is next, and who is that team? You know what? We already have one call. Let's get to that call right now. Jonathan in Columbus, in Georgia. Jonathan, who is that team if it's not the Chiefs?
Fellas, I think It could be Tampa Bay, like Bart said, but I have another take on it. Think about this. Even if Chris Godwin signs somewhere else in free agency, which I think would hurt the Bucs, Tyler Johnson can come in. He's been doing well this year. But think about this. Brady has one more year left on that deal at $25 million. If he leaves, the Cowboys have a quarterback in Dak Prescott that may get franchised once again. If he signs another one-year deal with the Cowboys and he's a free agent, why wouldn't Tampa Bay go after a Dak Prescott to put him with that young team and that loaded defense moving forward? I want to hear y'all talk about that. I appreciate what you do. Y'all have a blessing.
You too. Thank you, Jonathan.
No, absolutely. Absolutely, because I think the biggest winner this year was Dak Prescott because he showed what this team was without him. And, you know, what he was still leading the league in passing, you know, like 4 weeks after his injury. So I think, you know, Dallas has to make a decision. Are they going to give him everything that he asked for? And that's the length of contract, opt-outs, you know, guaranteed money, injury protection, skill deprivation, all that stuff. Or is Dak Prescott going to say, you know what, I'm going to pull a Kirk Cousins. You want to franchise tag me? Fine. I get top five money. Eventually I'm going to crack the bank and be able to get that long-term contract. I'm still young. I hit the free agent market a lot earlier because Dak Prescott was a fourth-round draft pick, so that means he didn't go 5 years. So really, technically, his franchise year was his fifth year, like a typical free agent, so he's not as old. But also, another layer to this question, who does this game – Who does a win affect whose legacy the most? Because I think we talk about the quarterbacks. But remember what the narrative was on Andy Reid and what rarefied air it puts Andy Reid in.
Well, he gets that second title.
His second title.
That puts him up there with all the greats.
Right. Or Bruce Arians, who's been a coach of the year, but also got a late start in his career. Finally, he gets the championship that to add to his resume. Where does that put him?
Well, there's so many of those questions. There's a million of them. We'll keep going with them again. We got some calls, 888-SAY-ESPN. There's a lot of them. There's which coach. They're both – the best thing about these two coaches, too, as we talk about some coaches, they're too old, they're too old school. These are two older coaches who actually have more of a new school approach. Which coach, as you know, you talk about
evolution.
You talk about attracting free agents. You know what I mean? Like, you know when you say how this team's so good, I'll take less because I have a chance to win?
Yep.
Which coach would you, if you were a free agent and said, I want to win, I want to play for a coach, I want to play, like, I'll take less to play for that guy.
Yep.
Which of the two coaches would it be? So that's also another interesting question that's out there. But I got to take this one. I've got to take Ryan in Texas on a next dynasty. Go ahead, Ryan.
Hey, yeah, thanks for taking my call, guys. I would say that the next dynasty is the Chargers because they have a young quarterback on a rookie deal that they had to pay basically nothing to get as far as cap space, that kind of thing. They basically reached the draft. Their defense has a lot of solid young talent. They were hurt this year, but like Derwin James. You know, they have pieces. Receiver core is solid. Offensive line is solid. I mean, they could probably boost maybe get a running back or something. But other than that, they play the Chiefs every year twice. So it's hard to beat, you know, speaking about the Chiefs, it's going to be hard to beat them three times. So if they can just make it to the playoffs, then they should have a reasonable chance to go ahead and pull upset and then start that way.
I mean, how do you feel about that, Bart?
Herbert is a stud, and Derwin James, he hasn't been able to be healthy, but when he is healthy, he's one of the most explosive defensive players in the game. They're probably going to lose Mark Ingram because his cap number is kind of high, and they just paid Joey Bosa like $100 billion. And, you know, so they don't have to really address that situation. So they're going to have to, you know, find some good pieces that way. But, you know, you look at Anthony Lynn. Anthony Lynn wasn't able to really win the close games, but – I think that, you know, that's whenever you have a young quarterback and you go out and get pieces like they did with Mahomes, you give yourself a shot. The problem is you got to face the baddest man on the planet twice a year. So if you don't do that and you don't win your division, we know that sometimes the wild card games and trying to get in as a wild card is going to be
tough.
You
know it better than
anybody.
They're
not going to have the extra one.
You know it better than anybody how difficult it is. In that division, when you guys went up against Tom Brady.
11-5, we still don't win a division.
It's absolutely amazing. So that's something to keep up. Melvin Ingram, by the way.
Oh,
all right,
no.
so we have
Martin,
that.
That's Martin Ingram.
It's all good. So we have that part of the conversation. There's no doubt about that. We want to let everybody know, by the way, that Sunday we've got you covered. Coverage of the Super Bowl, Chiefs, Bucks, begins with a special Super Bowl edition of the Bart and Hahn Show. 7 to 9 a.m. Up early, Bart. Set your alarm.
Is that cheese on our taco for getting up that damn early?
You were supposed to negotiate the cheese part. I just made sure that we got meat in the taco.
All right, okay? You bring the taco. I'm going to make sure we put the cheese on it.
All right. But we have that coverage, and we can do all that. We have after the game, you can get Jason Fitz, Mike Golic Jr., Kirk Morrison for the Super Postgame Show, also right here on ESPN Radio. So you start the day with us, you end the day with them. Wall-to-wall coverage, and Bart and I will be there bright and early on Sunday morning. But right now, let's do a preview of the big game brought to you by AutoZone. Get in the zone, AutoZone. How about this from Travis Kelce on the Chiefs' offense and how they need to force the Bucs to chase? Take a listen.
When you're going up against a great quarterback like Tom Brady is, and how legendary he's been in games like this, you just have to be able to control what you can control, and that's what we do on the offensive side of the ball. We preach, you know, situational football, taking care of the football, winning the turnover battle. Things like that are things that we can control as an offense. And you know what? Going up against a high-powered offense like that, that's the key, is you just got to make sure you're putting up 6 points more than you're putting up three. But at the end of the day, putting points on the board so that, you know, you give yourself a chance in the fourth quarter.
All right, so, Bart, here's what we're going to do. With that in mind, with what he said, a little preview of the game, let's break it down. The matchups that are important, all we're talking about is the quarterback matchup. These two guys, Mahomes and Brady, will not be on the field together until after the game when one is congratulating the other. That's the only time we'll see them on the field together. So let's get on the field. Let's get some real field matchups here. And let's go. Let's give me your top three. So let's begin with the third one that you would say. I mean, would it be Tariq Hill and Carlton Davis? Carlton Davis was toast in that meeting on week 12. We all know that. So would it be Hill versus Davis or Hill versus everybody?
For me, it's Hill versus everybody, because if I'm going to lose this game, it's going to be because, you know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire went off, or Harmon went off, or Sammy Watkins went off. I'm not going to let you beat me with your fastball. So Tyreek Hill, guess what? You're going to have the double team wherever you go. Wherever you go, you go in motion, guess what? The double team is going with you, and we're going to all make the necessary adjustments. Because you look at what he did. I don't know if I've ever seen a receiver have a quarter like this. Not Randy Moss, anybody. Oof. I think he had, 200 yards in the first
203
quarter.
Yards and two touchdowns in the first quarter.
I mean, he was doing back flips, front flips, you know, corkscrews. I was like, what the hell's going on, man? Like, are you trying to blow this game, kid? Like, and then it looked like in the second half, it looked like Tom Bowles settled
Davis
down.
Had tire tracks on his back. I mean, he was just
talk about check engine light.
Yeah.
Man, but so right. I think Tyreek Hill is going to definitely be number three. Tyreek Hill versus everybody.
Okay, the second one, let's go with the tight end, Travis Kelce, and we'll talk more about him as we'll do Blitzer Preview coming up next. But huge game for him, and we know how important he is to Mahomes. But you've got Devin White and Levante David that you rave about.
I love
them. And the linebacker crew for the Bucs. So is that your next matchup?
Well, absolutely, because I feel like when you have the advantage, you know, as far as, you know, talented position players, and you have guys that can bracket, you know, they're not a liability. Usually linebackers are a liability, so you feel like you have to put a safety on a tight end. But usually tight ends are still a little bit bigger than safeties, and they really just box them out, and you talk about the catch radius. But when you put a linebacker that can be a little bit more physical at the point of attack, but he's not by himself. So if I'm a linebacker and I know I got my buddy with me, I'm going to start inside leverage inside of him. So when he releases, I'm going to make sure that I cross his face violently and get to his outside shoulder, because that's going to slow him down, because he's got to run through.
You say violently. What do you mean by cross his face violently?
So you're inside of him, and then you're going to shuffle to him, but you're not going to stay inside and get into a trail position, because you know your buddy on the other side of you is coming to you to help bracket you. So I'm going to punch him in his chest. I'm going to try and punch his hips, and then I'm going to end up on his outside shoulder and funnel him back to my guy, knowing that if he has an over route, he's going to think he's running away from me. Boom, my linebacker's going to take a
right
war.
To
he's going to take – and listen, if I got to kind of shove him in the back a little bit to shove him into that knockout shot, I'm going to shove it to him. But guess what? If I'm on the back of him, if he pivots out to try to run away from the coverage, he's coming right back to me. It only hurts when he's going vertical, because you're kind of by yourself.
Yeah.
But if you're two-man, then you have two deep safeties. So it's like playing a zone but playing a man at the same time. It's going to be incumbent that make sure that Tampa Bay does a lot of complex coverages, because sometimes you're going to, you know, have the double team from someone else. But, you know, for the most part, you're going to double Kelce. Because did you see him a couple weeks ago? Dude had 10 catches in, like, the first – against the Bills, had 10 catches. Like, that's what makes the chains move. I think those are the rhythm throws that Mahomes look for, is with Travis Kelce. The explosive plays, the shots, those are to Tyreek Hill. But the rhythm plays, throwing him off his rhythm. And if you're able to get to him, like Tony Gonzalez used to always talk about this when we used to be on CBS and we'd be talking about the game. He said he hated playing against Bill Belichick because Dave would take two people and put them on him and vice him on each shoulder. He's like, what the hell am I going to do? They're doing punt coverage on me. What the hell am I going to do? So if you got to do that punt coverage and that has to be JPP and I'm the inside linebacker and we vice him and then JPP rushes afterwards, that's where we go. So I think that's going to be a huge matchup, the second biggest one of the game. Not second the first, biggest one. But the second biggest one.
This one, as we talked about, this one you feel is the biggest. And you mentioned JPP.
And he can
get after that quarterback. And he's sneaky, to me, a sneaky MVP candidate in this game. And what a great story to be. But it's him and with the offensive line issues for the Chiefs, it would be him and Mike Remmers.
I like how
going head-to-head in this game. So what about that matchup and what could be key about that?
See, this is how I can tell you did your research, because you talk about, oh, he could be a sneaky MVP choice. Because guess what? The last person that Mike Remmers was blocking, he just helped him to the MVP. That would be Von Miller in the Super Bowl. He was the tackle that gave up all the sacks. Look out, Cam!
5 years ago.
Cam, watch out! 4! Yeah, Von just took the ball. Von just took the ball from Cam.
Did
Thank
somebody
you.
Ever yell 4? Did anybody ever do that? Because that would be
4!
4!
Don't! So Remmers knows what an MVP looks like.
How disrespectful that would be.
And he usually assists. And you love the smoke that was shot. The fact that JPP was like, who's Remmers? He would be your former teammate. So, you know, the shots are fired and the smoke has already been sent. It's not like the Catholic smoke when they're trying to figure out who's going to be the next
pope.
Who's going
to be the next
pope. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, but they put that dirty black cough smoke. You know, so it's going to be interesting. JPP, 9.5 sacks. And what a story that would be after we know, you know, the path to which he's gotten here, you know, from a hand injury, the Giants giving up on him, going down to Tampa for a 4th-round draft pick. And now look at him. He's in the Super Bowl with an opportunity to put another ring on his finger and also a chance to be a really, really big part of this game like he was in his first and only Super Bowl. He has the opportunity to be the MVP this time, though.
Absolutely love that. And I think those are great matchups, definitely. All those to keep an eye on. What we're going to do coming up, by the way, that's Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. What we're going to do coming up now is bring you, as we always do on a Football Friday, a Blitzer pre-vet. But there's only one game to talk about, so we'll give a couple of topics, a couple of storylines about this game as well, based off of what we just did here, but go a little bit deeper into some other storylines on the game. So that's coming up. We want you to be part of the conversation. The calls are 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, at Barton Hahn on Twitter and Instagram. We're getting the tweets. I see them right now, so keep them rolling.
Bart and Hahn.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here we go again, talking about head-to-head matchups between two players that are not actually going to be going head-to-head on the field. That's what we do in this sport. Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott. Bart Scott being the great can't-wait mad backer with plenty of experience
in
the big games. By the way, so we're on, obviously, weekdays at noon Eastern. Sunday, little extra time, a special Super Bowl edition of Bart and Hahn. Bright and early, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern, right here on ESPN Radio. So you definitely want to tune in and catch us and just get yourself ready for the day. As I'm curious how everybody's going to be really preparing for this day, as Super Bowl's always fun. You have your Super Bowl parties, everybody gets together and stuff. And obviously in today's age, I don't know if many of us are going to do that, if any of you are going to do that. So all that to be discussed as well. throughout the show, and we'll get your calls going as well. It's Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. They'll let you bundle your home and car insurance together so you could save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Bart, you ready for the final installment for this season of Super Blitzer Bowl Prevent?
Super Bowl edition. Trying to win a chip. Never had a chip. Let's get a chip. Let's do it. I'm ready. Born ready.
Here we go.
This is Blitz.
Blitz is coming. Sack. Fumble.
Or Prevent.
Caught. What a catch.
By next season, we will make sure that we have it say Prevent. Longy. Longy.
Prevent. Prevent.
Yeah. All right. First up, Frank Clark, the defensive end for the Chiefs, compared Tom Brady to Deshaun Watson. When it comes to elusiveness, he said it's all about the shoulders. Bart, have you ever heard this? You ever noticed it's about the shoulders? How he can at his age, Brady moves so well in the pocket because he can move his shoulders.
So he old school. I have heard this a little bit.
Yeah.
And, you know, you talk about this is the old man's two-step because you know he can't run away from nobody.
But I can slide.
I can slide. You know, I'm going to stay in my cover zone, my 1-2, my 1-2.
That's what we're told. See, old white guys like me and Tom Brady, that's how we're supposed to do it. When you dance, it's just the shoulders.
Exactly.
Nothing else going to move, but I can move the shoulders anyways. But when it comes to stopping the GOAT, Clark didn't reveal anything that we didn't already know. He said this, quote, pressure. Pressure and getting him off the spot. For years, you watch this man dominate games because he's not pressured enough or he's not forced off the spot. This is one of the best, if not best, pocket passer in our era. Look over the last 20 years, whatever. The man has done nothing but shine. So Clark even started giving us analytics, Bart. He started giving us numbers. The stats to back up his point. Brady's completion percentage, 36% when pressured, 69% when not. That's only this season. That's a 33% drop-off. It's one of the worst in the league. In fact, only one player had a larger drop-off between pressure and not pressured in QBR when it comes to that situation. You know who that was? I'll help you.
Stafford.
Joe Burrow.
Ah.
Brady was also one of two qualified passers without a touchdown pass against pressure. Do you know who that other one was?
Joe Burrow.
The guy that replaced him in New England. Cam. Oh, Cam.
Damn,
Cam Newton.
Cam.
Oh, by the way, week 12, Steve Spagnuolo and the Chiefs pressured TB12 on 48% of his dropbacks. The rest, what did he do? 4 of 9 passing, 90 yards, 2 interceptions. So, Blitz or Prevent, I finally get to it. Spags led a Giants defense that once held Brady in the past to 14 points in a Super Bowl upset. Mm-hmm. But this Chiefs defense ain't that Giants group, especially if Brady gets into the red zone where the Chiefs are the worst in the league.
Yeah, I mean, they just don't have a lot of impact players. You think about all that equity that they spent, it's spent on the offensive side of the ball. They have guys that are able to impact that on different levels, where you think about Frank Clark, you think about Jones, and you think about Tyrann Mathieu, but that's not enough. When you think about Tom Brady and when he was pressuring him with those weapons he had from the Giants, they also – He was going against worse weapons. Look at the weapons that Tom Brady has. I mean, his third receiver, Scott Miller, he was able to go, you know, make a reservation for 6. You think about Godwin. Yeah. You think about Brate. You think about Fournette. You think about Shady McCoy. You think about Ronald Jones. You think about Gronk. You know, you think about Evans. Like, so he always should have an answer. But they did get to him a little bit and throw him off his spot. I think they'll be prepared. You know, fool me once, shame on me, on you. Fooled me twice, shame on you. So I think that's one of those things.
Wait, wait. You meant fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice,
shame on me.
Yeah,
that's why we're teammates. Footprints. Carry me in Blitz and Prevent, man. But, you know, you think about the GOAT. He's seen it before, and now he see how you want to attack him. Let's see if he's able to make the necessary adjustments.
All right. Next up, speaking of Brady, Brady versus Mahomes, that's on the marquee. But there's another legacy matchup in this Super Bowl. We heard about it in the rejoin. Gronk versus Kelce. The two tight ends who have effectively dominated the position that was, you would say, revolutionized by Hall of Famer Tony Gonzalez, right?
Yep.
Former
Tony Gonzalez, yep.
And really, those two are the top two in playoff receptions, receiving yards, and touchdowns. Gronk leads all three categories, Kelce right behind him. While Gronk's really no longer Gronk, the way Brady is still Brady,
right,
it does sound like Kelce is still chasing his legacy in this game. He said, quote, "It's a little bit personal, man. He said, it's got to be that way. You know I'm here, and I'm playing this game to be the best. Kelce did say he might be one of the biggest Gronk fans out there, and Gronk said the feeling's mutual. Yeah. He said, quote, I've got nothing but major respect for Travis Kelce. He's helped transform the tight end position, and I love this part. He said, contract-wise, he's helped the tight end position get paid the way they deserve to get paid, end quote. And we always know that was an issue for Gronk in New England. So Blitz and Prevent. Legacies are not just about impact, but longevity.
Yes.
That's the key to the Gronk impact on the position. How long he did it and that he had Tom Brady. Kelce's legacy will be tied to Mahomes and how long those two stay together.
Right, and just think, you know, Kelce was a little older. Remember, Brady was already there when Gronk got in the league, so he was able to kind of get Gronk, I mean, get Brady at the beginning of his career so he can play at a high level. And look how many, you know, Super Bowls they've been involved in. Look how many playoff games they've been involved in, where Travis Kelce's trying to catch up, and he's a little older. You know, he has maybe three more years to try and catch up and catch Gronk or catch Brady. Well, he can't catch Brady, but try and catch Gronk as far as many Super Bowl wins. I believe Gronk has three. So you look at, you know, Gronk and what he did for the position. Gronk is, to me, one of the best all-around tight end there ever have been in this game. Talking about catching the ball, his yards, he's able to put up, you know, close to 1,000 yards, 1,000 yards every one of his seasons, but also his ability to block defensive ends, be able to really set the edge on the run games, and he's still very effective in that, and I think that's going to be his impact. And Kelce's going to have to try and match him as far as catching up, but Kelce is the best receiving tight end in the league in recent history. You know, Antonio Gates was pretty good, but he didn't get the opportunities because they could never get to the big game, right, the big dances, to really put that on display. So Kelce's definitely, you know, setting a mark for some of these young tight ends coming behind him, and, you know, he's doing a great job.
And you want to see if these two can stay together, because that's really what solidifies your legacy. All right, last but not least, home field advantage. Never existed before in Super Bowl history. The idea of a neutral site was so neither team could have an advantage in the big game. But it's finally happened. The Bucs are the first team in Super Bowl history to play in their home building, Raymond James Stadium, affectionately known to the locals, by the way, as Ray J. Tampa is actually the home team in this game as well. They'll be in their own locker room. This will be as close to feeling like a regular game, at least routine-wise, for them. Now, they won't have the typical partisan crowd. The NFL announced there'll be 25,000 fans allowed in the building, which has a capacity for 65, almost 66,000 people. So we're talking about 38%, right? But out of the 25,000, 7,500 will be vaccinated healthcare workers who receive free tickets to the game, which is a great thing. Each team had about 17, 18% of the remaining tickets to distribute evenly. Usually the team that hosts also gets a percentage, but because they didn't want the Bucs to get an advantage, they aren't getting that. So Blitz or Prevent. The smaller crowd, split of attendance, this is not going to feel like a home game for the Bucs. Not being in a hotel among the usual pomp and circumstance also will not make it feel like a Super Bowl. It'll be a bit subdued, but it's still better than going to than winning an NBA title in an empty gym in Orlando, won't it?
Well, I think to the contrary, I think that this game is going to be loud. Fans will be crazy because, remember, these aren't the bougie corporate people that sit there. These are healthcare workers who are crazy fans that can never imagine being at a Super Bowl. They're going to pick sides.
And been through a lot and want to release a little, don't you think?
Yeah, they've been through a lot.
So. Good for them.
Did you hear how 6,000 fans sounded in Green Bay? Now you're going to triple that with 25,000 crazy fans. These are crazy fans. Listen, they're going to be so excited. Like I said, I cannot understate that for the first time to both quarterbacks, they're going to feel like they're not used to this noise. They're not used to practicing on a silent count. Hell, they've been listening to all the adjustments all season from their opposing defenses to what they do and vice versa. So now this is going to be the first time where crowd noise is going to be an issue, and they're going to pick their sides because either people love Mahomes and his curly hair, or they love Travis Kelce, or people love the Gronk monster, or they love the GOAT. They love his Uggs. They love his wife. So they're going to pick a side. It's going to be entertaining, man. So this game is going to have a lot of impact, and it's going to be unique to both teams because they have haven't been in this environment all year.
All right, that's Blitzer Prevent. Great job. We're brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. So coming up, all right, so there'll be people in the building, but how we watch the game, how much different is it going to be this year? We'll discuss what some polls are telling us about what people will be doing watching from home. But first, we have this, more from DraftKings, from Bart.
Football fans, again, listen up. DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of Super Bowl 55, has $55 million and total prizes up for grabs with their Super Bowl prediction pool. Enter the free prediction challenge, answer the question like who will score last, and boom, you'll be ready to make it rain. Download the DraftKings app and use promo code BART to enter to win the $55 million prediction challenge. Everyone gets an instant prize up to $25,000 just for playing. That's promo code BART only at DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of Super Bowl 55. Terms and conditions and eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for more details. More of your calls after this.
Bart and Han.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Bart Hahn, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the Bart Hahn Show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. Guests we'll have coming up. Keyshawn Johnson going to join us in the next hour. Super Bowl champion with the Buccaneers as they are back now in the Super Bowl since that one back in 2002. Be a lot of fun to talk with him, certainly about that. Super Week, ESPN Radio, presented by AutoZone. Bart and I will have a Super Bowl special on Sunday morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern time, so we want you to join us there. You can tune in tomorrow for college basketball action. Virginia hosts Louisville. Coverage begins at 3:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Just shortly here, before we get to Keyshawn, Bart, so Ad Taxi did this, did a survey, and they about Super Bowl viewership and trends for this year, which will be interesting because, as we know, people normally have Super Bowl parties.
Yep.
And 68% of the respondents with plans to watch or listen to the Super Bowl will do it at home, alone, or with just members of their own household.
Yeah.
And that's it. Like it's, so people aren't really having Super Bowl parties. They're just not doing it. And for the most part, you're also seeing a lot more people that are moving away from cable and watching it streaming.
Yeah.
So we're starting to see that digital change in the way we consume it. So, you know, once again, it's to me going to be interesting on all levels to see the game, what it's like as we're going pandemic with some fans.
You know how many side chicks and girlfriends I used to meet at Super Bowl Sunday? Like, hey, this Tootsie. Like, oh, hey, what's up, Tootsie? Everybody come in. Party! Now we're going to miss all that fun, man.
Tootsie.
Like, yo, I think it's serious. Like, there's always, you'll be broke over her in a week.
There's always a Tootsie. Keyshawn coming up with us next. Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN+.